years. Here he began to publish the material on logic that would later form the first part of his system. History's verdict is that he added a new dimension to the subject, although his first critics doubted that this new system of categories could be called logic at all. From 1816 to 1818, Hegel was professor at the University of Heidelberg. Here he published the first of three editions of the Encyclopedia of the Philosophical Sciences, which struck a new note in his writing. In his earlier work entitled Phenomenology, Hegel seems to have written for himself, with little concern for helping the reader understand him. In the Encyclopedia, however, he wrote about what he was actually teaching in his classes. His style shows that he was now making some effort to communicate with his audience. Hegel was called to the University of Berlin in 1818, where he remained until his death. He was a towering intellectual figure, exerting great influence over the development of philosophy through his lectures on law, religion, aesthetics, and history, including the history of philosophy. Today, the history of philosophy is a regular part of philosophical studies, but this wasn't the case before Hegel's time. He saw philosophy's history differently from his fellows, who viewed it merely as a procession of changing ideas, each canceling the others. But Hegel was preparing the way for a new concept. Over the centuries, he says, philosophical thought develops like a vast dialogue where different philosophers represent different positions. Stoicism, Platonism, Kantianism, and so on don't merely compete for a claim in the truth. They build on one another's insights. Behind the entire process is reason trying to express itself. For Hegel, all previous thought culminates in his philosophical system. So Hegel regards his own position as the result of all that's gone before. The historian's view that one idea prevailed at a given time doesn't go to the heart of the matter. For Hegel, the important thing is to discern what a particular philosophy contributes to an ongoing dialogue. And that dialogue aims to discover complete truth. Philosophical outlooks disagree. But for Hegel, this opposition is part of a larger development beyond any particular philosophical outlook. He says,
the more the ordinary mind takes the opposition between true and false to be fixed, the more it is accustomed to expect either agreement or contradiction with a given philosophical system, and only to see reason for the one or the other in any explanatory statement concerning such a system. It does not conceive the diversity of philosophical systems as the progressive evolution of truth. Rather, it sees only contradiction in that variety. The bud disappears when the blossom breaks through. And we might say that the former is refuted by the latter. In the same way, when the fruit comes, the blossom may be explained to be a false form of the plant's existence, for the fruit appears as its true nature in place of the blossom. These stages are not merely differentiated. They supplant one another as being incompatible with one another. But the ceaseless activity of their own inherent nature makes them at the same time moments of an organic unity. Where they not merely do not contradict one another, but where one is as necessary as the other. And this equal necessity of all moments constitutes the life of the whole.
Hegel isn't interested in what we call philosophical programs, where a thinker tells us the plan he intends to follow. For Hegel, the important thing is to actually develop the thought. The process is as important as the result. As he says,
the real subject matter is not exhausted in its purpose, but in working the matter out. Nor is the mere result attained, the concrete whole itself, but the result alone with the process of arriving at it. The purpose by itself is a lifeless universal. just as the general drift is a mere activity in a certain direction, which is still without its concrete realization, and the naked result is the corpse of the system, which has left its guiding tendency behind it.
Hegel thinks that philosophy can't begin with a preface. On the contrary, he says, you must plunge right in.
In the case of a philosophical work, it seems not only superfluous, but in view of the nature of philosophy, even inappropriate and misleading, to begin as writers usually do in a preface, by explaining the end, the